number one, shake up the shit.
Shake it up.
My Lord.
Shake it up.
My
shake
Lord,
it up, Lord. Yes, Lord. Shake it up.
What does it say about mankind, about us as people, God's creation? When we are born into this world, that no one has to teach us how to be disobedient. The simple fact that a baby is born requires no training to that child for that child to disobey you. We're born with that. And because we are born with that, in order for us to get rid of that, we must be born again.
Uh-huh.
And so when we are born again, we then become babes in Christ. And because we are now babes in Christ, God set up obstacles so that He can grow us, to mature us, to perfect us. And so sometimes in the process of growing and stretching and maturing, it seems like it's more than we can bear. And so we begin to disobey God.
Mm-hmm.
For the Bible declares that the spirit of disobedience is as witchcraft.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And what it means by that is that you're carrying then another spirit.
Yes, sir.
And so when you begin to leave God's spirit out and worship another spirit, obey another spirit, God says, now it's witchcraft because you believe another God.
Uh-huh.
And so God says, I'm a jealous God and I have no other God before me. And so again, if you want to know where God is going to attack in your life, God will always attack your God. You won't call it a God. You won't bow down and worship it. You'll just allow yourself to do it over and over and over again. And see, and what we begin to practice, that becomes our religion. And whatever it is that our religion is, our religion is always anti-Christ.
That's right. Why?
See, God wants you to worship Him and to serve Him because that's your choice to worship and to serve Him. Not because that's your practice, that's your tradition. For the Bible declares that the traditions of man will make the word of God of none effect. So in other words, God wants to do something in your life, but God can't do it in your life because you have sidelined God. It doesn't mean that God is not alive and God is not God. It means that God is not doing what God wants to do in your life. One of the worst feelings is to come to church and someone sitting next to you have the Holy Spirit and you got nothing. Nothing is worse than to come to church and somebody sitting next to you and they feel the Spirit of God and you got nothing. Nothing is worse than seeing somebody being blessed all around you and you sit there talking about them, hating on them, and you see nothing. I'm glad when I come into the presence of the Lord, if you give your blessings, I'm next in line to get mine so I can praise God right along with you because God has no respect of persons. God has no respect of persons. What He does for one, He'll do for another. See, but sometimes the other, the people that you're hanging around with, they have a direct effect on your life. So sometimes you say, it doesn't matter who I hang out with. It doesn't matter where I go to church. It doesn't matter who lays hands on me. It doesn't matter who prays for me. Yes, it does. Sometimes the reason you can't go forward is not you, it's your crew. Yeah. See, you gotta be careful who you allow in your circle. Here you are praying, believing God, trusting into God, and somebody else standing next to you, you know that it never happened. It may not happen for you, but God says, my blessing got my name on it.
Yeah.
No one can stop your blessing. But you. And all you get to do is just to sideline them for a moment. See, if you keep getting in God's way, and God has plans for purpose and purpose for you, God will come in your life and shake up your life. And you'll say, God, why are you doing that to me? What's wrong with me? I'm worshiping you. I'm praising you. And he says, I know. I'm just trying to get you somewhere. I'm trying to bless you. But you in my way. Isn't it a horrible thing when you in God's way? Because you decide to go not where God sent you, but you want to go your own little place. So the story of Jonah is a story where everybody around Jonah is doing what they're supposed to be doing, with the exception of the preacher. Oh, you come to church and the preacher reads you up and down, tell you all your sins and how horrible you are, and if you don't do this, then God won't bless you, and if you don't give this, then God is not going to release the blessing. All of that stuff is just to scare you. How often does preachers talk about what they're not doing? What we're not doing? You see, the same God that you serving is the same God that I have to serve. The same God that sometimes calls you to do some stuff that you don't want to do, it's the same God that put that calling on my life. But sometimes you have to understand that God loves you so much that he's just shaking you up. He's shaking up the ship, because the ship is not sailing in the direction that the ship is supposed to be sailing. And so God comes to the preacher, and you know what God told the preacher to do? Go preach.
Go and preach. That's right.
Preach.
That's right.
Now that shouldn't be hard.
What's it say?
Because you said God called you to preach. Now God can't get you to do what you lied and say God called. Them people say, I don't want to preach them. They don't like you either. It ain't about that. Now, I just don't want to preach them. Nobody care about that. Every opportunity God gives you to preach, you better proclaim the gospel of God. You better open your mouth and you better tell somebody to the goodness of God. You better tell somebody the mess that God brought you out. You better tell somebody that God is the deliverer. You better tell somebody he'll make a way out of no way. When the bills is due, you gotta tell somebody. He'll be a doctor in the sick room. Tell it. So God comes to the preacher. God tells the preacher to go preach. The preacher has a free trip to go to Nineveh and preach. Instead, he decides to get off that boat, get on another boat to pay his way to Joppa. I don't know about you, but if somebody's giving me a free trip, it seems like I can take it. Especially if God is giving it. I may not like the company that I'm with, but I'm not going for you. I'm not going to even praise you on the way. I'm not even thinking about you, because you really don't matter in the scheme of things. God obviously had purpose if God told him to go to Nineveh.
Yes, sir.
Go to Nineveh, and when you get there, he says, I simply want you to preach the gospel. Now, when God says to Jonah, he says, go to Nineveh, understand that is a divine direction. A divine direction means that God is ordering your step. So if God tells you to go, he'll get you there. Don't waste your time trying to add up your checkbook. It doesn't matter. Don't waste your time looking at your credentials, because it does not matter. Don't waste your time comparing yourself to the next person, because none of that matters. When God have you on a divine divine direction. He'll jump over all your insecurities, all of your lacks, all of your don't have, because God says, I called you for this purpose. And if God is calling you for this purpose, you better believe the water may get rough, but you're going to make it to the other side, because he that controls the water is controlling your life. To be in a storm with Jesus, and in the storm with Jesus, the world may be messed up, but as long as I'm in the boat with Jesus, in the ship of Zion, I'm all right, because the world may flood, but Jesus says, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you. The world may go through something, but that has nothing to do with you, child of God. Who cares about an unemployment rate? That's why y'all crazy self keep getting a promotion. When the unemployment rate is 89%, who cares about what's going on in the world? That's why y'all praise yourself. Keep coming to church believing a God that you've never seen, and he's blessing you in spite of. It's a wonderful thing to be praised for God. When you're a fool for God, he makes your enemies look at you and say, how you do that? Because that don't make sense to me. How you paying that bill? How you taking care of 2-3 children? How you doing that? Nobody but God. I said, nobody but God. You ought to give him some praise. Nobody but God. You can't do that. Nobody but God. That's your divine direction. God is sending you somewhere. He says that to Jonah. He says, Jonah, go to Nineveh. Now, the reason that Jonah is going to Nineveh is because God wants the people to repent. Now, it seems like a preacher would love to go somewhere where the people are to repent. See, someone, I don't know if it's a song or it's just a saying, but many years ago, people used to say, preachers don't preach like they used to preach. They used to preach from the holy book, now they only preach from your pocketbook. You can remember that. See, preaching today is big business. I want you to understand that. Preaching today is big business. And don't get me wrong, you got to pay George Powell them $600. You got to come up with it. Don't get me wrong. Now, don't get super spiritual on me. But hear what I'm saying. It's still about preaching the word of the Lord. It's still about a Jesus Christ that came down to this earth. Savior. It's still about that. The message has not changed. So God says to Jonah, he says, Jonah, I need you to go to Nineveh.
My God.
And the preacher says, I don't like those people. See, because he was always preaching to the saved folk. Now God says, go where they cursing at. See, they ain't going to say amen. They going to tell you something else. Y'all remember how y'all was before. Come on now. See, the problem sometimes is we like to preach to the saved folk. And those out on the street that need a word, we won't go out there because ain't nobody looking at us, because we can't get no attention out there, because we don't have a platform to preach out there. You got to be instant in season and out of season. You got to preach when they don't want to hear it. Preach when you don't even want to preach. Preach when they turn away from you. Preach when they receive you. You got to proclaim the word of the Lord. So God says, go to Nineveh.
The word.
Well, God ain't going to Nineveh, man. Stop tripping. Go to Nineveh. Do you know the people of Nineveh?
All right.
Do you know what type of lifestyle they live?
Right.
Yeah, just like you before you came in the church. Just like some of us in the church. So God says, go to Nineveh. He puts him in a divine direction. direction and says, I want you to go and save a city. The preacher says, I'm going the opposite direction.
My God.
He goes, get in a ship, not planning where he's supposed to go. Now he's headed to Tarshish. He's headed to Tarshish on a boat. On the boat, God commands the wind to go. Yeah. The seas get rough and the boat is about to sink. I wonder how many of you in here this morning, your boat feels like it's gonna sink. I came to tell you, you need to check your crew. See, sometimes you pick up passengers and you need to push them over. You say, that's not God. I'm gonna show you that. Push Jonah right off the boat. See, sometimes the folk that you're rolling with, the folk that tell you I'm down with you, them the same folk will bounce on you in a heartbeat. So he's on the boat and he's headed in the opposite direction. God simply tells him, arise, go to Nineveh, and cry, which means to preach. See, you need to understand that always place your duty over your dislikes. See, as a child of God, you don't have the privilege to not like someone, therefore you don't share the word with them. I ain't gonna tell them nothing because I don't want them to get blessed. It's not your blessing anyway. You're just a blesser. And if God can't use you, the Bible declares he used an ass. So I know him. He used an ass. He used a rooster. Certainly, he had a need for me and you. Can God have his way with you? Can God use you? Like somebody else. He's not asking for that. Well, I don't sound like somebody else. He's not asking for that. Well, I can't speak well. He's not asking for any of that. See, God placed you where you are because you speak the language of where you are. So he needs you to talk to crazy folks in your circle about how wonderful he is. Save on Monday morning in your cubicle thinking about the Lord will make a way somehow. No, baby, I got to come down and talk your language. You remember that conversation we had last week when you were acting like this and you were using all the Ebonic language? I got to speak that language to draw you. I got to meet you where you are and walk you to Christ. I don't need to come on hopping to you telling you about a God or whatever. No, he's able to do all things but fail. He is able. He says to Jonah, he says, Jonah, go to Nineveh and cry out. Just preacher, go and preach. That's all I need the preacher to do. It's just go and preach. I don't need you to get in nobody else's business. I don't need for you to have a sermon from the pulpit about what you heard about somebody. I don't need none of that. I just need you to preach the word of God. That's all. I don't need to know who shot John. That doesn't matter to me. I don't need to know who's sleeping with Sue. That don't matter to me. Just give me a word, an old time word. And you know what? You don't even have to be perfect to give me the word, because it ain't your word. See, sometimes we get confused. Who is he to tell me about Jesus? I'm the one that he sent. And the Bible declares, touch not my anointed and do my prophet no harm. He's talking about you, baby. He says, if I told you to go, I just want you to preach the word.
Preach the word.
Jonah gets on the boat. So Jonah is traveling to Tarshish.
Yes, the word.
And the winds and the waves get rough.
Yes, Lord.
And then all of the sailors says, now, what is going on?
What's going on?
Who's on this boat that is not supposed to be? So here is, now the ship is designed to just take you over the water. You guys been on a cruise. You know, like sometimes the winds and the waves going, but you feel nothing but God, because the ship knows how to balance itself. It's an equalizer. And God is saying the winds and the waves can be going on in the world, but the ship of Zion, the church, it's a balancer. It's an equalizer. So don't look at what's going on out there. Just lean back and just feel what you feel. And watch me take you through this thing, because I'm God all by myself. Jonah's in the boat.
My God.
The ship is sailing as the ship is sailing.
Priest Bishop.
What is going on?
Listen, Jesus.
That all of this commotion is going on in this boat, in this water. So they says, now, wait a minute. Somebody here, somebody have offended their God. So I need all of you. Watch this, folks. Now, remember, the people that is on the boat are not saved. Why are they talking about who offended their God? The preacher is in the lower part of the ship, sleeping. When I'm going through something, I need to know that you're standing with me. You don't need to quote a scripture to me. I don't need that right now. I believe in God. I know the scripture. I just need to know you're standing with me. I just need to know, if I need to reach out and touch someone, that you're right there. I don't need for you to tell me what I did wrong. Ask me what I did wrong. I just need to know you're right there with me. Jonah's on the boat and he's sleeping. So they says, what's going on? Anyway, they go down, they pick up Jonah, bring Jonah to the top, and they go cast lots. In biblical days, you cast the lot, and the lot will always land on the person that had the sin. And the lot cast on Jonah. And then Jonah, getting really spiritual, Jonah says, well, just take me up and throw me off the boat. Now, it sounds like he was being spiritual, but the question or the issue is, was he being suicidal? Everybody that tell you I'm standing on the word of the Lord is not really standing. Don't you love it when strong church folk begin to go through something, then all of a sudden they stop coming to church? If the word that you are preaching to me is so good, why don't you apply it in your own life? Why are you telling me a scripture and begin to tell me about your relationship with God? So Jonah stands up and they push Jonah off the boat. When they push Jonah off the ship, God had prepared a great fish. God did that.
God did
that. That mess that you're going through and something is holding you back, God did it. God prepared it for you. You may not like it, but it is to save you. See, what you're going through is not worse than what you would have got if you had not been in the hands of God. You need to thank God for being in his hands this morning. Oh, it may be ugly now, but what you would have faced was so much worse. So I thank God that I'm in his hands right now. And so the fish come. And as the great fish come, the fish consumes Jonah, takes Jonah for a ride for 3 days. Sometimes God needs to lock you somewhere so you can talk to him. And so Jonah then began to cry out to God. God, if you just let me get to Nineveh, I'll never do this again. God, if you just let me get out of this thing, I'll never do this. You ever prayed that prayer? Me too. God, if you just take me through And then after 3 days, the Bible declares that God spoke a word to the fish, and the fish regurgitated Jonah. When he did that, Jonah was about God's business. You see, what the story is really about is that God is a delivering God. He'll always deliver you through something, but every now and then he has to shake up your ship. The stuff that you're going through, and you say, now this is rough. God is saying, that's just me. I'm just shaking up your ship because I'm trying to get you somewhere for me. So you got to sit back and give God permission to shake it up. And when God begins to shake it and God starts to shake and party, he has the ability to stop it at any time in your life. So what you're going through, if God started it, when God says time, he will stop that thing from shaking. But you got to trust him. You see, you got to understand that as you begin to go through something, God has already predestined for you to get there. And so when you're going through, it's going to get rough. But that has nothing to do with God's ability. The truth of the matter is God loves it rough and crazy sometimes. That's why other folk go through something. They stay in it for one day. You still, a year later, going through the same thing. Well, God must not love me because they already got their blessing, already got their deliverance. And God is saying, but I'm taking you higher. I'm taking you deeper. I got a greater thing for you. That's why I can trust you with this set of trouble. I allow you to go through it. I allow you to stay in the storm because I know just how high I'm taking you. You need to begin to praise God in your storm with your elevation. You need to begin to thank God for the heck that and stuff that we going through. God is saying, but I'm going to pour you out. And when I pour you out, he says, I'm going to get the glory. For his glory, I'll do anything. For his glory, have your way. For his glory, God, whatever you need for me to do, I'm here. It's for his glory. And so God allows us to go through something. And as we begin to go through that thing, we're complaining and saying, God, why me? And God is saying, why not you? Because you saved, you sanctified, filled with the Holy Spirit. I can trust you right now. And so God allows you to go through. And you think something is wrong with God. And God is saying, but you're not seeing what I'm seeing. So God thinks something wrong with you. Because I've already put a hedge of protection around you. I've already told you no weapon formed against you shall prosper. I already told you that you're going to come through. Why are you freaking out in the storm? But God, I don't know how to swim. You don't need to swim. Just get in the ship.
All right now.
Notice this in closing. Jonah had a free trip.
A free trip.
God says, just get in the boat. He decided that he wanted to go instead of Nineveh to Tarshish.
All right now.
So he paid his fare. See, some of the stuff that we're going through in life is because we're trying to pay
our way through.
When God is saying, but if you just receive the gift of God, he says, I've already paid it for you. I've already made a way for you. I've already allowed my son to go to the cross. And when he stretched out on the old rugged cross, he paid for our sins. He says, all you got to do is just receive it. Just receive it. And so the stuff that you begin to go through, and here you are, disobedient to God. And God is saying, well, I'm just going to stand here until you stop fighting.
What you say?
You ever been around someone that was swimming or they could not swim and they just fighting and fighting and fighting, and you tell them, when you stop, I'll grab you. But as long as you acting a fool, I'm going to let you be right there. I can imagine that sometimes we're going through things and we're just trying to swim our way out of it. And God is saying, when you stop, I'll stop. Relax.
Yes, sir.
Abide in me. And I'll abide in you. Trust me. And I'll deliver you. But God, the water's going in my nose. I don't care about that. I got you. But God, do you know about my bills? Yes, I sent them to you. You did what? I sent them to you. Because I promised to supply all of your needs. See, sometimes God puts you in that position so that people can say you through, so that God can see you through. That's what God does. Everybody counts you out and say, that won't happen. That person is finished. Turn around and there you are, hitting something else. See, that's God in your life. He keep delivering you. He keep making ways out of you. He keep bringing you through. Just look back at your life. I won't even ask you to go back 10 years. Just go back 10 months. Everything that God has brought you through. If God wanted to kill you, He would have did it a long time ago. In spite of what you've been through, I'm talking about the car flipping 5 times that way and 6 times that way, in spite of cancer, in spite of everything else, but you're still here. It's because God has purpose for you. God has purpose for you. God has purpose for you. And I hear what somebody is saying, well, I prayed for my mother and I prayed for this person and God took them. It's because it was finished.
That's right. That's right.
It was finished.
That's right.
Not according to what you think or how long it should have happened, but God says what I call that person to, it is finished. You want to see him again? You live right there, right in heaven waiting for you. Come understand with me this morning. I want to invite you to step out in faith this morning. If you're here this morning and you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, we open the doors of the church for you so that you can come and you can say, Lord, here I am. Here I am. Been tied up in some stuff, got rough, the winds and the waves, but here I am. Here I am. With everyone this morning, no church home, not sure about your salvation. If that's you this morning, God's calling you, and we want you to come this morning to surrender to God. The Bible declares if you believe in your heart, confess with your mouth, He says, I'll give you salvation, I'll give you eternal life, I'll deliver you from whatever it is that you're going through. All you have to do is trust Him. With everyone this morning.